It's always an honor to be invited back home and to share a little bit about what we're doing, but also to share the word. And I was really privileged to do that. I think last time I had a chance was a few years ago. So this is home for me. This is really, it doesn't get more home than this. I started coming here, I was 6 years old. And it's such a joy to be here. I think we're just going to move into what I call a camp director's prayer. It's what I want to share with you today, and it comes from a section of scripture. It's from 1 Peter 2, verses 4 to 12. So if you want to turn that, it's always great to put bookmarks in your Bible when you're about to share something. Just side note there, guys. But I found it. There you go. Melissa could have helped me out, but she's not here. 1 Peter chapter 2, that's great. I'm going to read verses 4 to 12. I know in maybe your Bible has a little break in there, maybe it doesn't. I know one version I had didn't, and one version does, but I'm going to read it together, so here we go. 1 Peter 2, 4. As ye come to him, the living stone. Oh, that's funny, eh? Camp Living Stone, the living stone. That's not where I'm going, but either way, I'm going to start over. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in the scripture it says, see, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Now to you who believe, this stone is precious. But to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone that causes people to stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. And they stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, so that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Dear friends, I urge you as foreigners and exiles to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day that he visits us. When we made our mission statement 4 years ago, we did a survey. We do surveys every year just to see how people like camp, what impacted them. Even our cabin leaders, we'd ask them like what the experience was like for them. And we had two things that came out that struck me the most as we were making our mission statement. And one was there was a comment that came back quite often from whether it be cabin leaders or campers. And it would be, I look forward to my week at camp because it's a time when I can really connect with God. And the second one is like in the category of what do you remember about camp specifically. And of the things that are remembered most, the most common thing that's remembered has to do with a cabin leader or an experience they had with a cabin leader. And usually they name them. So this tells me some things. And what it tells me is that what matters most in people hearing the gospel is the relationship that they have, right? Well, if they're going to hear it, it's because they're going to have a good relationship. They're going to have a shared experience, and it's not really going to be necessarily about the speaker or about the chapel time or about the really cool games or RC trucks or archery, right? It's going to be about the relationship with the cabin leader. It's where it's going to really go down. And the second thing, and I don't know if I would look at this as good or an irritant. I was in the middle of it all. It's because my irritation is that there's a notion of so many kids and even our cabin leaders that God can be met at camp. God's not at camp. You know, it's like you come to church to meet God. Does that make sense? I mean, to some of you, it might. I hope I'm maybe challenging some thinking there, but we don't come to church to meet God. But I want to get to, I'm going a little bit ahead of myself here, because the problem is that we sometimes come into some thinking that goes along those lines where we'll even sing songs like, I come into your presence, right? Or we call the church the house of the Lord. I've done that. Okay, the house of the Lord, right? But the problem when we do that is that all of a sudden when we leave the place in about an hour, maybe half an hour, 40 minutes or so, we're going to leave. Are you leaving the house of the Lord? Are you leaving the presence of God? But we can get duped, get tricked in our mind into thinking that kind of thing. And that's what happens at camp. Some kids, they come to camp, they hear the voice of God, they hear the gospel, then they forget, and they go into their world. And a lot of kids do that because they don't even live in a Christian environment at all, so they have really no support system that way. Whereas if you were to send maybe a neighbor or kid from next door in there, well, you get to be that person to maybe help them out a little bit after camp, right? So anyway, they do that, but it also happens with my cabin leaders sometimes too, and that's probably the greatest pain that I have, and this is where my camp director prayer comes in, is that this doesn't happen. So I want to look at it a little bit, in the context of we come here, we sing songs, we call it worship, but it's not. I mean, it is, but that's not how we worship, right? When we leave this place, do we stop worshiping? At work, do you stop worshiping? I'm talking to Christians here because, actually, I'm talking to everybody. We all worship stuff. We are worship machines, right? There's stuff that we worship out there, and if it's not God, it's something else. Like, we worship stuff all the time, right? But can we take our time to worship God outside of this building and outside of camp? So again, this is deep in my prayer life when it comes to my cabin leaders, especially is to get this, is to understand it. So let's look at it. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4, right behind me. It's like, as you come to him, think about it. As you come to him, how do you come to him? Through faith and trust, right? As you come to him, in the first place, you came to him by accepting what he did, the free gift that we have. Well, now you're being built into a spiritual house. The same way, right? So you don't come to him in faith and then, well, now I got to work it all. Now I got to try and be a better person. Now I'm going to earn God's favor. It's like, that's not what we do. We have God's favor. And he's building us. So as we come to him, we are being built. Those are the key words. As we are built, as we are coming to him. And we are being built. Skip ahead one. Go to the next chapter. I'm going to skip ahead a couple of verses and go down to chapter, verse 9 there on the next slide. You know, there's that notion of the process, and then there's a notion of completion, right? The completion is we already are. We are a chosen people. We are a royal priesthood. We are as we come to him, we are being built into this, but we also are. So like Pastor Jay said right here, we're imperfect. We're not always doing the right thing. But we already are free. We already are the people of God if we have faith in Christ, right? And what does this look like, this spiritual house, right? Remember, this is not the house of God. This is a building. Nice building. But it's a building. The house of God, where does the Holy Spirit reside? In us. Why do we sing, Holy Spirit, come? I'm just asking. If we're here, Holy Spirit's here. If we're in our workplace, where's the Holy Spirit? In our workplace. If we're at school, where's the Holy Spirit? In school with us, right? He's in the desk with us, right? But we forget sometimes. But here, an example of this royal priesthood and this spiritual house and a royal priesthood. Here, you have a child who hears the gospel, right, and believes it and tells friends about it. That's an example of a royal priest. Then you have a teenager who repents of sin. And you know what? His parents notice. You know why? Because he or she respects his parents now. Whoa! An adult decides to live a life of integrity, and they're truthful in how they behave. And for some reason, there's a love and a peace in their life as they work or as they go about their business, and they're ready to share the reason for the hope that they have. Or maybe it's a father who's, instead of thinking about the needs that he has, he's thinking about his family. His heart is turned toward his kids, turned toward his wife, sacrificing himself. It's hard, sacrificing yourself. But he does it, and he does it willingly, and he does it so that Jesus gets to be famous. I want to be around these people. Who wants to be around these people? Right? Where are they? They're right here. I found them. And I found them in the last church I was at too. It's really cool because they're there. The key words, again, we're not there yet. They're being built. But yet they are. Now, this is because they had an encounter with the cornerstone, right? They had the encounter with Jesus. And we have a notion of that when it says Scripture says, I lay in a stone in Zion, a precious cornerstone. The one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. And there's two reactions that come to that. Because those of us who receive the gospel, this stone is precious. This stone changes their life, right? How many of you, this stone has changed your life, right? But to some of us, I don't like this stone so much, right? This is good for you, but I don't know. This stone is a stumbling stone and makes them fall. They disobey the message, but that's the majority of the world, and that's Quebec. Quebec doesn't want that stone. They want to be self-sufficient, right? But we need that stone. Something happens to us when this stone becomes precious, is that we change, right? And in 1 Peter verse 11, it says that our citizenship changes. All of a sudden, we were Quebecers, and now we're foreigners. Exiles. So I got foreigners and exiles. In other versions, I have aliens and strangers. That's kind of more ominous, you know? But now things happen when this isn't your land anymore. And this is sort of, if you want to take a couple notes there, this is maybe something that can happen, that should happen, and maybe we get surprised about. But when you become foreign to a country or you go to a foreign land, things are different in your eyes, right? The land becomes not yours, right? It's weird, right? They act differently. Their culture is different all of a sudden. This happens to us as we become a Christian. And sometimes we're surprised by it. I think hopefully I can shed some light on the fact that it's going to happen so that we don't get so surprised. But yet it does happen. If you read Hebrews 11, we just talked about Hebrews 10. If you read Hebrews 11, we have a whole group of people: Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Noah, Moses. A whole bunch. And there's a recurring theme that goes out, is that they're on a journey to a land that they don't even know, and yet they're obeying God in the process, right? And they were doing this for the church, for the New Testament church. That's why the writer of Hebrews is writing it. So they were on this journey for you. So we get to receive all that they were working for. Now, does that make them feel good? I mean, how many people like to work but never get paid? Your grandchildren will get paid, but you won't, right? But it wasn't like that for them, right? They had that relationship with God too. It was just different. We get to receive the full effect of the gospel. We get to be free because of what they did. Well, because of what Christ did through that. God did through Christ because of what they did. The world becomes foreign to us. We see things differently, and then we have to respond to that, right? And how do we do that? Now, that's why sometimes we come to church, and we like it a lot. Because in here, it's a little bit like an embassy of heaven, right? Because you have other people that think alike. We can encourage one another, How many of you go to a Bible study? You can encourage one another there. How many people take a stop every once in a while, go on a retreat, go to camp? I mean, it's a good time to stop and to take a bearing, adjust our course. That's, we like doing that, right? But normally, we have to go back, right? But we come to church for that. But there's a desire that can go the other way, and it's like, oh, I just don't want to be in the world at all. It's scary. And that's not what we're called to be. We're called to go. We're called to go out there. Jesus took 12 disciples, had them for 3 years, and said, that's enough. They're okay to go now into the world. So there's a desire to withdraw. We don't always want to do that. But I guess my prayer is that you would continually want to spend time with God like you do here, but on your own. Continually want to grow and take time to stop every once in a while to listen to what he has to say. Because God is the same God here as he is outside. And it doesn't matter what situation you're in. I mean, you could be in a really bad spot, right? I mean, some of you have, you know, an unbelieving spouse. You know, some of you have, made really bad mistakes. You know, or maybe some people are making a lot of bad mistakes around you and it's driving you crazy. Christ is still Christ. God is still God, and you're still free. Okay, so the world becomes foreign. We see this. Why? Number two, because laws of this kingdom out there are different than the laws of our new kingdom, right? The laws of our world's kingdom think in terms of what's lawful and what's legal, where we think in what's true and what's righteous, right? That's essentially the difference. And why we do that is because the spiritual kingdom we live in is pure and perfect now, but yet it's not here. It's in that process too, right? Isn't that process of becoming, but yet not yet, but yet it's real. It's in us, but yet it's not fully here. And we will, when we pass on, we will be there. But right now, we're here. But Jesus is coming back. Praise the Lord. We know how to get there. Right? A Christian knows how to get there. And we know this because we actually know the King. Personally. Three is probably the one that trips you up the most. So the world becomes foreign. The laws of this kingdom are different than the laws of the other kingdom. But the strange one is that the world isn't just strange to us. We become strange. We don't like that. Who likes to be the oddball? Right? We become weird. And that's hard to swallow sometimes. And you think about it, what are the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, patience, meekness, gentleness, godliness, self-control. Missing one. Either way, who wants to be around those guys? I mean, what person in the world, what your neighbor, would they reject you for that? Like, who would reject you because you're loving, caring, gentle, kind? You make them, if you treat them like they're more important than you, I want to be around that guy. But for some reason, something happens to us. John 15, 18, 19 has the words of Jesus here. He says, if the world hates you, know that it hated me before it hated you. Now, they hated Jesus. Now, there's no one more loving and more giving than Jesus was. But they hated him. If you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, so he's taking blame. I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Merry Christmas. That's what Jesus gives us. He gives us the opportunity to be hated. But the reason is that we're different. We shine the light in a dark place. Nobody likes that, right? Carol, my wife, suffers from migraines. She sometimes has to wear this protective glasses because, you know, the light hurts her head. But it's like the whole world has a migraine and you're shining a light on it, right? That's a really weak example. Really weak. I'm sorry. I won't go there again. If you're a businessman and you decide not to, because you're a Christian, that you'll do business in the right way, you won't, you know, you'll declare your all the taxes, you'll, you know, not double cross or lie or cheat, and you'll keep your word no matter what, even if it costs you a lie, well, you're going to be a stranger in the world, right? If you're a husband, you decide to be faithful to your wife because you're a Christian, that won't make sense when people think that you why are you putting up with that? If you're a teenager and you decide to live for Christ in your high school, in the hallway, at lunchtime, you're going to be looked at not cool, maybe. You'll be a resident alien. If no matter what job you have, whether it be a blue collar, a white collar, full-time, part-time, hard-working, desk-type job, whatever it is, but if you do it as to please the Lord and not for the paycheck, you're gonna be looked at weird. You will be strange. People, if you live your life based on a value that Christ gave you, the world won't jump on board because it'll get in trouble, get in the way of what they want to believe. But I want to be there to welcome you to the, you know, I call it the fraternal order of Christian strangers, because we are strange. This passage ends in a very interesting way. In verse 11, it says, "Dear friends, I urge you as foreigners and exiles to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong," like that could happen, "but they will see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us." So that's our conditions. We're basically strangers in the world. We need to own that. But at the same time, we need to realize that we're still in the world. There's still those things that are going to get in our way. They're going to trip us up, right? We need to put off that. Hebrews 12:1 says, "Therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses," that I've just mentioned, Hebrews 11, right? "We're surrounded by all these people. Let's throw off everything that hinders. Throw it off. And that sin that so easily entangles," this is a very big echo here of that verse in 1 Peter. "And let's run the race that's marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he did something great. He endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners that you do not grow weary and lose heart." So, for those of us who are in Christ, who are changed, is your view of the world changing? Like, this is maybe a time to reflect. We invite maybe Jen, if you want to come on up there. And I know it's a thing that I miss from coming to this church all my life, and not every church does it. We don't have this. Yeah, come on up. We don't have a time of reflection after every service, and I really, really miss it. But you guys do. But I'd like you not to leave before you consider a couple questions. First of all, is your view of this world changing? And if it is your life strange to your neighbor? Now, I'm not asking to be a weirdo, but at the same time, I mean, we're supposed to treat people with gentleness and respect, right? Honor one another. That's what we should be doing. But maybe there's something we need to repent of. But maybe there's something we need to receive God's forgiveness of too. Because we're forgiven. We're free, right? So if you can take the time to do that, to examine how your life looks like outside of this place, and then you can probably come to more acceptance of how our strangeness should look. And maybe, you know, our summer camp or this church could be an embassy of heaven. Maybe your home can be an embassy of heaven. But then you get to leave that embassy and be scattered right where God wants you to be. And know that he wants you to be right there. Maybe for a bit of time, maybe for a long time. So today, let's throw off what hinders. Take stock of what you need to repent of or forgive of. But this week, where God scatters you, remember, you're not alone. You haven't left the presence of God. But run the race that he gave you. Forget the past. Run the race. And then maybe next week, You can choose today what that's going to look like. Right? Choose today to be strange. Because verse 9 said, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, and God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you have not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. So I'm going to stick around too. If anyone wants to pray with me, I'll be here as well. But maybe we can, as we're singing this song, maybe you don't even want to sing the song. You just want to do business with God. Do that. But if this message is new to you, this message of Jesus dying on a cross for me, why would he have to do that? It's because my heart is wicked. My heart has rejected God. We all did. And he made a way back to him. If you want to do that, you can do that. You can trust in Jesus. And that would be my heart, is that you become strange today and be scattered to where God wants you to be scattered. Father, I just want to close this message time, and I just thank you for the opportunity I have to speak with my family. And I pray that your word would work in our hearts, that even as we were, even as I was speaking, I know you were working in so many different ways that far beyond my words. Lord, I pray that your spirit would touch the hearts of those in this room. Lord, through your word, through the maybe even the testimony of their mom or their dad or their children, Lord, of in the weeks past. Lord, I pray that they would see who you are for who you are. I pray, Lord, that nobody would feel like they are leaving God's presence because they leave the church. I pray this in Jesus' name.